The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, September 26th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and of course, I shall be your host for today. Tuesday, Uncle Sora, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, was missing. I suppose if I had a show with him, but I had a different booking, and I said, man, Uncle, you need to come on a different date. And he said, man, every Thursday, can I come on Thursday? And of course, we agreed to have him come on Thursday so we can continue our introspection, interrogation of his interpretation of the Christianity from the aspect of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. As you know, Uncle Sora is a PhD doctor. He has a PhD in critical theology. That means that he went to school, seminary school, got a PhD degree on analyzing various religions in general, right? His religion, the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, has a interesting interpretation of Christianity, which is different from Christianity. And you know, I tend to have issue with religions that is similar to Christianity, but not really Christianity. And I'm saying, is it Christian? But his religion, his way of belief, has ancient African precepts, right? It has ancient scrolls that it seems as if the Jewish religion, the Arabian religion, Arabs, the Hindu religion have all adopted different aspects of holy books. That's what he called them, holy tablets, the bishop. I can use my vocabulary words because I can't pronounce these ancient Aramaic words and African words, right? They have a bishop who explains and gives detail about how the earth was created, how man should worship the creator. And that's what our interrogation tends to be about, the difference, the similarities, and the interrogation of these ancient scrolls like what they found in Egypt. They found so much rocks and thing with these ancient documents in Egypt and in Iraq and Iran, and all of them come together to form this holy Bible that they have, right? Today, and like I said, I'm procrastinating because Uncle Sora is not here. He's on his way. He should be coming in any minute now. So, but I want to give a brief introduction of what the conversation is today, that when the listening audience hear him come and give his intro and his spiel, that they are equipped with the information and they can go right in to asking questions. Today's conversation is about days of Noah. Are we back in the days of Noah? Right? And the days of Noah is with some certain concepts in terms of evil and wickedness. Aaron Green is going to be joining me, and I want to say this. The other day, and in fact yesterday, it's Pride, Aaron. It's Pride, and when I went back on the road, all of the roads on Prince Charles, Fox Hill, and the surrounding areas was flooded. And I'm not talking about hard torrential rain, because I know what happens when we have hard torrential rain, the whole Bahamas floods, or these New Providence floods. But I'm talking about what I call spry rain. You know, it drizzled for about a couple minutes and then turned back off. But I'm watching how it seems as if New Providence is flooding. And I'm having that days of Noah feeling, like signs and wonders. I talked about that the other day. Signs and wonders of some kind of big judgment is coming. Now, mind you, on social media, there's a number of these New Age prophets all over the place casting doom and destruction on the Bahamas, and Bahamians tend to share it. They don't share nice things. They tend to share all the damnation of the Bahamas and say, oh, some kind of tsunami, some kind of flood. And all these prophets don't want to prophesy good things, right? They always want to prophesy these damnations. And I'm looking at them and saying, I don't like you all as prophets, but that's just me. But they say you can't be judging God's anointed. I just question if God touched them in general. But that's not here today. In the days of Noah, right, there seems to have been a connection of the spiritual realm and the earthly realm, right? And what I mean by that, you had in Book of Enoch that angels came down and mixed with the earthly beings, and that caused chaos on this earth. I'm saying, I am seeing signs where it seems as if a spiritual realm is wreaking havoc on this earth yet again, right? It doesn't seem by chance like these sinister things that is happening is just by chance. It seems as if there's some kind of being, is that the right word? Some type of entity, if that's not the right word, is changing what is good is bad, and what is bad is now good, and they are manipulating and twisting this world and for my word again, demonizing this place to look similarly to the days of Noah. And that's what my conversation is going to be about with Unku Sura whenever he arrives. He texted me about 20 minutes ago to say he's 15 minutes away. I'm not sure if you're 15 minutes away and it's 20 minutes later. How come you're not in the studio? But he should be walking in any minute now. In the meantime, I will have a conversation with Aaron Green, prepping this show in terms of Days of Noah and spirituality, and whether she believed that there can be sinister forces afoot that can manipulate earthly forces, right? There are people in this world, Aaron, that is seemingly so wicked. When I say wicked, they kidnap people and harvest their organs. That's not normal. That has to be something of demonic forces to just randomly capture, detain a person and massacre them for their organs.
I mean, for their body.
Parts, whatever it is. I don't know. But it can be organs. It ain't gonna be body parts. Go ahead.
Because, I mean, when you were saying that, I was thinking of a time when millions of people were gathered and kidnapped and stolen and taken for the use of their body.
Hmm.
And it wasn't really deemed as atrocious by a vast proportion of the world at that time. Or even if it was, there was an agreement to ignore the atrocity of it. And so when you say it's not normal, in what it makes me question in what context, right? You're using the word normal or normality. But it also, when you were saying that, I could be honest, an irreverent thought popped up for me. I was going to say, man, Yuri, maybe it's just gas. Maybe it's just gas, right? Like, maybe it's not what you think it is. What if this is just the symptoms of a drug era that we thought were over? Like, we thought we were free and clear of it. We thought we healed ourselves. We thought we eradicated it. We thought we fixed any of the symptoms, all of the sicknesses. We thought we dealt with it and don't realize that we the sick diagnosing the sick.
And I can appreciate that, Aaron. Except that I think this is orchestrated as if there is a higher force who is purposely manipulating the world in order to get a certain outcome. And particularly when it seems as if there's organizations out to get a particular result from this world. Like, you hear the simple thing of as the stem cell research, the simple thing as you're hearing the Illuminati talk. I wonder if there is some type of occult, if that's a good word, behind all of this.
See, like when you mention stem cell research, right, and you throw that in there, is stem cell research in and of itself a bad thing, a demonic thing? I wouldn't put a label on it in that way. What I think is, why are we vesting millions, billions of dollars in stem cell research for people to live longer when we could be investing millions of dollars in creating environments in which people could live longer, right? Like, do we need to go all the way there to that science to do it? Why are we not focused on extending the lives of everybody?
I believe, just like, and Uncle Siraj here right now, Dr. Cleveland Inius III, I believe just like in that the book of Enoch, where it's suggested that there were mixing of DNAs to create new creatures, abominations. I believe all of that is part of that narrative of what was once in the beginning shall be at the end, and that those forces, them spiritual forces who were manipulating us back then are back again on Earth, trying to manipulate us further. But without further ado, let's introduce Dr. Cleveland Inius, who is a critical theologist. And the topic today, are we in the days of Noah?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the conversation today, because I kind of scared because it looked like something big is about to happen. And in the days of Noah, Aaron, when things got bad, my Lord started rumbling in heaven and saying, I destroying everything and starting over. Something wrong with them, and I'm going to wash it away.
Big man, as a
black, and I want to know if the flood coming.
Big man, as a black woman, from you mentioned the time I know I was scared. You didn't even have to need flood.
Yeah.
God didn't even need to be angry. Black woman was scared. He's just a little concerned.
And for centuries now, we heard that a judgment is coming. For over 2,000 years, we hear that a destruction will come again. Say fire this time. And I've been trying to see, why isn't man trying to create something that is fireproof? Because if a big storm come, I could do it in this hurricane. I mean, a submarine. But no one talking about no fires. Anyway, let's go back to serious talk to Dr.
I call in the teacher, the janitress from Uriah McPhee. You need to have a plan.
Send the fire in.
Go Send ahead. The woman from Uriah, tell her, come quick.
Good morning. Good
Welcome
morning.
Again, Dr. Inius.
As always, we greet you by saying Namaste, which means I bow to the divinity within you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Inius III, also known as Calhoun Anku Sara. It's always a pleasure to come and share. As we are at the end of ages, all right? We are at the end of an age, and the end of the age is the age of ignorance. We now are a people who have an opportunity to investigate, to analyze, to critically think about whatever it is that is before us. And so the reality of who and what we are as a people ultimately is determined by our will to investigate. And so when we ask this question, are we in the days of Noah? This is not something that I am personally putting forward as an individual. But the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So this is in Scripture, Matthew 24, 37. Now the question I have for Brother Nuri and Sister Aaron today is, was Noah waiting for Jesus?
What?
Matthew 24:37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay.
So in order for us to appreciate the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of the Messiah, we have to understand what was actually taking place during the days of Noah.
And that's what the conversation is about right now. So, what exactly was taking place?
Right. So what was Noah doing? Noah, first of all, they say he was perfect in his generations.
Yes.
Which means he lived a life that was in alignment with that which allowed him to be viewed as perfect or complete or whole. Just like Enoch was perfect in his generations, which allowed for him, they say, to walk with God.
There were a number of perfect men, or who God called perfect, not right. me, who God called perfect mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Right.
Right.
This is an important discussion because in this day and time, if we are in the days of Noah, as it is being referenced here in Matthew 24:37, and we have a group of people who are simply waiting for someone to come out of the sky and save them, versus actually building an ark or being proactive about preparing for that which is to come, then we are in a serious problem right now.
Remember when I mentioned, Aaron, how come nobody's building a fire suit because the judgment's supposed to be fire? That's similar to what I think mm-hmm. Dr. Inge is saying. We should be preparing for something catastrophic mm-hmm. if we follow prophecy. Something is about to happen.
Well, it's happening. The planet has shifted. Mm-hmm. We are now witnessing the earthquakes in diverse places. We're witnessing the wars and the rumors of wars, as mentioned in Matthew 24. And early in Matthew 24, where the Messiah is saying to his disciples, these are the signs, all right, that not necessarily a person is coming out of the sky, but there's a consciousness. And that consciousness is called a nun consciousness. This nun consciousness, this word nun, is where the word Noah actually comes from. And so when the Greco-Roman Bible redactors, those who misinterpreted, those who mistaught scripture, when they were stealing this out of the Nubian records, when they were stealing this out of the Sumerian records, out of the Hindu records, when they were creating Greek and Roman mythology to spellbind us as a people, they were taking the realities of Nun, the primordial waters, which is something that has happened repeatedly on this planet. Every 2,000 plus years, there's an actual age, as we talked about earlier with solar biology, right? It's mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, where it talks about the signs and the seasons and looking at these stars. In the book of Job chapter 9 and Job chapter 38, they talk about four constellations. They talk about Orion, which is the word they use for heaven. They talk about Arcturus. They talk about Pleiades, and they talk about Maseroth. And these guardian angelic hosts, who, when we read the story of Noah in the Sumerian text, there were not eight people that entered the ark. There were actually 80 people. And 24 of those 80 people were the 24 elders who assisted him.
And this is where we diverge, mm-hmm. right, in terms of interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
For the entire years we've been, at least a year plus, that we've been doing these series,
mm-hmm.
you have made a suggestion that Greco-Roman have stolen ancient African texts.
Well, that's proven.
That they manipulated for mm-hmm. their own narrative,
mm-hmm.
right? Now that was eight people on the ark.
Mm-hmm.
You now turn on the new number, 80 people on the ark, and I ain't row because you may have a different interpretation.
I'm not saying that. This is recorded in the Sumerian text where they have their own Noah called
Utnapishtim. Yeah, but my Noah different.
Well, your Noah came from an older Noah, all right? A Nuach, in fact. This word, Nuach, which comes actually out of the hieratic, the word nu. The word nu is the word that they use for drunkenness. And what's the first thing that Noah did after he was saved from the flood?
He
get drunk. Now, they said, whether it was intentional or not, he got drunk. He was naked in his tent. And there's a whole other story that comes out of that, right? But I'm saying this because there's been a very, you talked about a, what's the word you use? You used the word earlier about something that has been contrived, something that's been planned, right? Mm-hmm. We have been victims, and we always say in the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, there's nothing wrong with the Bible or the Quran. The interpretation, the mistranslation, the misteaching is what the problem is. And if we go back to the original records, because these books are actually records of the indigenous people of this planet, being the Africans, the Sumerians, etc. If we are willing to go back to the origins, this is what the word convert again means. Go back to the origin, shub in Hebrew. We can understand what day and time we're in. We can understand that it wasn't that God was just sending a flood as much as we were experiencing a 24 to 26,000 year precession, a shifting of the needle. When I say the needle, the axis. The axis, when we used to spin top, you spin top, right?
Please spin top.
And you know when the top start to slow down, it start to wobble. Mm-hmm. The earth is doing a similar thing, but it takes 26,000 years. It's called a precession for the earth to make one wobble. When that precession needle reaches a full cycle, we reach a time whereby we are in between ages. We're in between a physical cycle and a mental cycle. We're in the between a water cycle and an ether cycle, or they would say the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. There are different interpretations as to what these ages are. But every time we get to this transitional point, we understand that there's changes that are taking place, all right? We as a people are now in an age whereby, again, for some of us, it is the end of the age of ignorance. Some people will choose to remain in the age of ignorance, all right? But for those of us who choose to caress, to be resurrected mentally, whereby our consciousness will be raised and become a part of this caress consciousness, we will be like the Messiah. Like the book of John chapter 14, verse 12 talks about doing the works of the Messiah and doing even greater works, right? Somebody wants us to sit back and just wait. Somebody wants us to just sit back and just accept that if it rained for 2 hours in this country, you have a flooding that you never had before. Something's happening. You understand? When you look around the world today and you see that certain countries, literally certain countries are on fire. All right. When you look around the world and you see that there are hundreds of earthquakes taking place at any one time on the planet on a daily basis. Right. Some people will look at that and say, man, the world is crumbling or the world is fading. But it's not that the world is crumbling or fading. The world is healing itself. Mm-hmm. The world is healing itself from a virus that has attacked it. And that goes back to when we talked about viruses, bacteria, and germs, and the fall of Satan to earth, and this fall of Leviathan, which goes into the story of Noah as well. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to reference Nuri's opening sort of salvo and about the water,
mm-hmm.
right? In the water, and like we hear it, it's familiar. Like you say, the world is not crumbling. It's us that's crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the flood, you don't think it was time to figure out how he's going to capture flood water and redistribute it and use it? After the tsunami in the Philippines, we didn't think. I mean, Japan has, right? Japan has figured out that they need to capture that water. And so they capture flood water and they store it, right? They've created these big ponds, underground ponds, to store the water until they need to use it.
Right?
The world isn't crumbling. It's us that are crumbling. Nuri, you watch Waterworld?
Yes.
From my watch Waterworld, I'm trying to figure out how I could build a boat. It's constantly in my mind. I've never forgotten it. It's constantly in my mind. But that we live in an archipelago, the largest in the region, surrounded by water. Obviously, we're plagued with the impact of sea level rise.
Global warming, ice cap melting. We ain't teaching
people how to build boats. We're not having conversations about a new architecture. Which islands we gonna go to? Where's the high ground?
But if we knew the story, the true story of Noah, we would appreciate that Noah or Nuak, this African Noah, was not just trying to get on a boat. They were actually getting to a safer part of the planet. All right. In our records, it talks about being 9 degrees above, within the region of 9 degrees above and 9 degrees below the equator. There.
Hold on, let me just... I want to introduce what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a need for us to understand what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying you have a separate Noah story. Tell us that Noah story so we can respond to what you're saying, because I'm not sure if we understand that you have a different Noah altogether. What is this Noah story?
Hold on, before you go. The spirit of objection was visible on you just now when you say that. He didn't say he have a separate Noah story.
But is Noah...
That's what you heard, but that ain't what he said.
Does Noah have a different name that's separate by itself? Either is Noah, is not Noah.
So again, being that we are at the end of the age of ignorance, right? The Noah story that we have become familiar with is a composite story, okay? In ancient Africa, you have one called Atumre. And this Atumre was responsible for seeding this planet, right? With one called Konum, which is the molder, right? T.D. Jakes calls his church the potter's house. That's an African term, this Konum, the molder, right? And this seeding of the planet was at a time before we had what was called the fall of Leviathan, or this, they call it the Ark of Noah, all right, where the term Noah's Ark comes from, right? This seed, once it was birthed on the planet, had to be protected from the ultraviolet rays, whereby there was a project called the Rainbow Project, all right? The eight people that are referenced in Genesis are making reference to eight beings called the Ogdoads or the Rashunat. This word Rash or Rosh means head. And so these eight beings, Nun, Nunet, He, Hehet, Kek, Kiket, Amun, and Amenet. So these four couples, eight people, were responsible for the origins of who we are as humanity on the planet today. You then have the story of one called Manu in the Hindu records, where they talk about their flood story. All right. Then you have in the Greek stories or theology, some would say mythology, right? You have the story of Deucalion. All right. And Deucalion also experienced a flood, right? Within the Sumerian text, you have what's called Zusidra or Utnapishtim. That story happened 400,000 years ago. Versus the story of the ancient Africans, which happened 24 billion years ago. This is what the records are showing us. All right?
So you said this flood didn't happen at all at the same time?
The original one did. This one that is mentioned in, the one that's mentioned in Genesis only happened in the Nile Valley region. And this is what the dispute is amongst so-called Egyptologists today, where they are looking at the water marks on the Sphinx. They're trying to understand how in the middle of a desert you have water erosion on the actual Sphinx.
And I mean, so I just want to say, this is not an African story Unc who's telling you right now.
It's a world story.
These are Caucasian and European archaeologists saying, hey, this look like watermark. This don't look like wind erosion.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some, there's this dispute about it, but you can go and do the research. You can see the actual erosion of the Sphinx, etc.
So you're saying that the Noah story is a composite of different flood stories?
Yes, yes.
Let's go to the callers, because I see that they're calling in, and mm-hmm. I want you to go into detail, because mm-hmm. you are suggesting that some type of calamity, destruction, it's clearly pending, that we are again in the days of Noah.
We're in the age of a procession. We're at the age of...
What word did you use?
Procession.
Procession?
Procession. You can look it up. NASA talks about it. Mm-hmm. They talk about the planet moving from a 23-degree axis to a 49.5-degree axis, which is why there are certain changes on the planet. When this procession takes place, the surface area of the Earth, it moves like the skin of a grape. So you have more earthquakes. You have more... you're of different ages. Sometimes you'll have more earthquakes. Sometimes you'll have more volcanoes. Sometimes you'll have more hurricanes. All right. And so these things are happening on the planet. But we are the only people who don't learn universal knowledge and the actual reality of how the universe actually functions.
Let's go to the first caller there. Producer Kermit, patch that caller for me through, please. How you doing, caller?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Mr. Nuri.
I'm glad it's you, because I was going to ask, are you calling from hell? Because I heard it's hot.
Oh yes. Okay. I mean, I'm living under this Hellenistic system, so I am in hell. You know what I mean? Because we're born in sin.
Yes, sir.
We are born in sin because we are born in a system that is not of our own. You know what I mean? So we are living a life that is not intended for us. That's being born in sin. Now, you know what I mean? But when you was talking about calamity and different stuff, right? I agree with you, because we're talking about the end of the system of things. You know what I mean? We're talking about how the earth is organized, at least where we live, where we reside, how the system is flowing right now, we are coming to a point when that is going to crash, when that's going to come to an end, because like how Anku was talking about, it's the end of the age of ignorance. You know what I mean? Because we're entering into the age of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of way. So people are going to wake up and people are going to rebel, and there's going to be a time when the system of things is going to come to an end. And when that comes to an end, then there's going to be absolute chaos if there's nothing in place to replace that. You know, the kind of way, it's going to be every man for himself kind of way, and the fittest of the fittest will survive because it would be kind of lawlessness. But what I wanted to say to Anku is that when he was talking about time, right, and he was talking about procession, right, that don't speak to a wobble.
Yes, it does.
That kind of way. That don't speak to a wobble.
It does. This is an hour show, so... We don't have time to really.
Yeah, I understand. Because
that's a simple Google. You could watch videos on that.
But like Miss Green was saying, right? Like Miss Green was saying, is it the sun? Is it the sun that has left the mark, or is it the water? You know, like, so when you say Google, right? Whose information am I googling?
No, Google. Google is just our library in this day and time. It's no different than going to a library. If you don't know how to use a library, you can find misinformation. If you know how to use Google, you can find correct information.
Okay, but the thing about Google and what you're talking about, right, is if I Google it, right, what you're talking about is the very first thing that they're going to present to me.
No, that's the first thing you can look at.
Because
you said that. So the reality is you don't have to actually look at the first thing that they present to you. There are scientists who are actually studying this and who have actually put papers online for you to go and research. You could actually access libraries through Google.
Brother, what I choose to look at, right, what I choose to look at, right, is irrelevant. What I'm trying to say to you is that the information that you are giving out with this 20-degree tilt and all this bubble, right, what I'm trying to say
NASA
is that...
NASA's spoken about it.
Listen to me for a second, please, brother. What I'm saying to you is that...
Man, I've been listening for a while. It's only an hour show.
Yeah, brother, listen to me make a point. What I'm trying to say to you is that the information that you are giving out with 22-degree tilt and the wobble, right, what I'm trying to say to you is that that is the first thing Google is going to give to me. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So what I'm trying to say to you is that in the world... Where, like how Ms. Green was saying that there are alternate or alternative like perspectives, right? The first thing that comes to me is not going to be the thing that should be the truth, Anku. Now, the point I want to make to you is this.
I don't understand what your point is. I might as well let you know.
You told me that you was Google.
I told you to responsibly use Google. I told you that there's ways you could actually use Google and access libraries.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say to you is that. But the information that you are giving, sir.
No, let's be clear about the reality of this show. This show is not enough time. It's not a 4 or 5 hour show where I could slow down and pull up the sites and actually take you on Zoom and show you that we do that on Wednesday nights. We do that on Sunday evenings in our church. If you want to join us on Zoom, we are happy to do that with you. Because we only have a limited amount of time on this show, I'm presenting information because ultimately there are people who want to come out of the age of ignorance and they want to be able to begin to research and begin to ask questions. And so we come on this show to assist with those people who choose to do that. Now, if you don't choose to do that, let's don't waste other people's time.
Good. We have one more caller here. Please pass that caller for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, brother.
Yes,
blessed Anku. Thank you for the enlightenment as far as the African aspect of the flood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I realize what you're saying, but a question to the end of what I'm about to say, but you don't have to convince me. I think C.A. New is being facetious here, but he did make an aphoristic statement, as it was the beginning, sure to be an end. So don't get caught up in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not here to cause any disagreement, because what I'm saying is, but Google did lie during the pandemic. But because I'm an avid reader, I'm able to decipher truth from lie, because I'm realizing that they were pushing a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as religious aspects, books and things that are available in physical existence can be read the same way on Google. But you have to be an avid reader to be able to discern truth from lie.
Mm-hmm.
This is the age of enlightenment, I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But now, let's get back to this biblical thing here, Anku. You don't have to convince me about all the Christians in the Epic of Gilgamesh. I've mentioned it to you over on the air, but you know more of it than me. All right? because I haven't went all the way down the rabbit hole. But as far as Ur, and then, you know, you mentioned Samaria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in that whole area, then it is said that the Ark rests on Mount Ararat, which would be what? Northern Iraq, southern Iran? Just let me know.
Near Turkey.
Thinking pictographically. I can't remember everything pictographically.
It'd be near Turkey. Mm-hmm.
But just expound on that angle. And then what does this, what have you said as far as the Earth has to do with, because, you know, in geography, I was always astounded by true north, grid north, and magnetic north. Mm-hmm. You know, just I'll just hang up and listen. Bless up.
So this whole idea that this Ark landed on the Mount Ararat, it's really based on, again, the Greco-Roman interpretation of their civilization birthing life as we know it today. All right? When you go back into this reality of the African story of Noah, we have an ark right near the Great Pyramid. It's called the Ark of Khufu. They would say Cheops. And this particular ark was used at a ceremony called the Ofet or the Opet Festival, where they took the bark of Amun, this bark or this ark, which was actually a replica or it was a copy of the New Jerusalem mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 21, this raised manjet or this Nibiru that they talk about in Sumeria, right? And they would sail that ark from one of the temples called Waret, all right, called Karnak, and they would sail it down to Waset or Luxor, all right? And this was a 30-day festival, and this was a renewal of a covenant because the covenant of the bow is what Noah actually received. But this bow represents seven spheres, or this rainbow represents seven spheres, which ties into the seven types of melanin that these original people had that protects us from the sun.
You're trying to say the bow in the sky?
That's one of the bows.
So it's different bows?
Yes. Well, what was taking place was we as a people were re-initiated into the schools and into the realities of these 24 elders. The same way Abraham had to be reinitiated, he had to be taken out of Ur of Chaldees and brought back into a space where he could learn about who he was before he re-entered Africa. He couldn't bring this sick mentality back into Africa.
You mentioned or suggested that a calamity is pending. It's happening. I grew up that fire and brimstone is going to be cast out of heaven and come down to earth, and this is going to be a big discussion because there are people who talk foolishness but religion. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Right.
Right? That don't sound like the same thing.
Well, it all depends on whose perspective you're learning it from. See, we're the only creatures or beings in nature that accept a story of salvation or accept reality from other than self and kind.
I have another caller here. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, after the call, I want to read a headline into the record.
Mm-hmm. Let's get this caller on record. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Green, Yunui, and Anku Surah.
Good afternoon, morning, brother.
Also salute the divinity within you as Yashu.
Namastu, yes. Within. Yes, sir.
Look within. Just, Anku, I just want to tell you, it's a dangerous precedent to tell people to look to Google, because what Google does is bring confirmation bias for information that people find. Now, I could tell you that long before the Internet, as we know it, came about, even before the so-called TCAP in 1983, January 1st, the interconnectivity between these things were up to universities and colleges and databases and such. But as we evolved and came about in 1992 with the World Wide Web, and 2004 with Google and other things as we know, the saturation of information, and we're seeing now even AI itself is being fooled with the generation of information from itself, that when you send people to search for something without the knowledge of what they're looking for, the true, like you say, a guide to take them, they will only sink deeper into the bliss of ignorance.
So let me, people think. Can I stick a pin there? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just said information, mm-hmm, is only become knowledge when it's properly comprehended.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is the proper execution of it. Thank you so much.
I agree. I mentioned Google because that is what most people are willing to actually use. Now, ideally, you should come and sit at the feet of an actual master teacher so that when you do Google, you can understand. You have a frame of reference. Now, most people, because the master teacher that I'm going to suggest that you sit at the feet at, or the one that I sit at the feet at, his freckles are too close for too many of you. His nose is too big. His lips are too big. He's too black. He's too African, unfortunately. So unfortunately, Google is where most will have to start until they actually have some love of self and kind to be able to sit down at the feet of a master teacher and have the guidance to be able to learn how to use Google. I never just put Google out there. I said use Google responsibly.
Yes, sir. Two quick things, little housekeeping note. Here's a headline I found yesterday. UBI to take measures to limit AI usage as students turn to ChatGPT for help. Some professors at the University of the Bahamas have complained about the effect ChatGPT and other artificial intelligence platforms have had on education, saying students are using them to write essays or cheat on assignments. That's just an excerpt.
Yeah.
And then a little housekeeping note shared by one of our avid listeners. The AI for IA conference is taking place right now. And the over 60 experts at the 5th annual AI for IA conference hosted by the UNESCO Information for All Program Working Group on Information Accessibility. So that's artificial intelligence for information accessibility. So it's a conference for differently abled and disabled people. It's virtual. And Pumpkin Eater shared the details with us, so I just wanted to say, if you are interested, go online and search AI for IA conference.
Cool. That's at UB?
No,
this is something else. Okay.
It's international, but you can join from anywhere in the world, and Jamaica, South Africa, Alberta,
it's a global
China.
Yes, yeah, initiative. It's a global thing.
We have another caller here I want to get on the record. The Bible also speaks about the days of Noah, that wickedness was here, and that wickedness caused some of this calamity and destruction. I want to know if you have any records, reference to any wickedness being able to manipulate the weather and this the catastrophe. Let's go to the caller, though. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Neary. Erinkas.
How you doing? Listen, you remember, you's a woman and I's a woman. I don't know if we could have talked in the days of Noah. Be careful now.
Definitely could, but they left Noah's wife name out of the Bible. But go ahead.
All right.
Namastu, Anku.
Namastu, my sister.
Listen, Mr. Neary, Anku, you have to be patient with Mr. Neary. Mr. Neary is I like
me and Neary good.
Captain Neary.
Yeah, we good.
You know, I like how he tries to make you think different.
Yeah, me too. That's why I like coming on the show.
Yeah, I love that about him.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask, you was talking about doing a Zoom or getting involved in one or two of your Zoom meetings to get some more information. I'm Adventist. You know,
okay.
I've asked you some questions about that before.
Yeah.
But I am a very curious person when it comes to religion.
Mm-hmm.
I like you and Mr. Neary, we grew up in the Bible, you know, hearing about you know, the way you have to pray to go to heaven and all these other stuff. Where I saw something the other day where Pastor Miles said that, why are we praying to go there? When Christ prayed, he prayed for heaven to come.
To come here. Exactly. Here. Exactly.
You know, so if you could elaborate on that, and then I would like to know what the Zoom IP is so I can get on your meeting.
So let me deal with that first. So every Wednesday at 6 p.m., all right, go to journeyhomegroup.com, journeyhomegroup.com, or you can just WhatsApp me, 426-1148, 426-1148, and we can get you tied into the Zoom. And then Sundays at 2 p.m., we're also on. As far as heaven coming to earth, we definitely are building it in order that the will of the Most High is here on earth, but we must do it in a safe part of the planet because the planet is shifting.
We're going to take a short break here. I see you, caller. Come back after the break. But before I go on break, I need to say happy birthday to somebody. I need to say happy birthday to Kendall Casey Campbell. That's again Kendall Casey Campbell.
Happy birthday.
His good daughter, Kendanique.
Say, my cousin.
Yes. please extend happy birthday greetings to my good daddy, she said. So let me do that before
happy
I forget.
Happy birthday, good daddy.
Yes. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on the days of Noah. I'm talking about, I want to hear about the wickedness and all kind of giants, and it will that impact the calamity,
yes,
right? Do I need to brace myself, right? Because the end of the world seems to be coming. And I ain't see no one preparing. Even though I see a lot of rich people building, what are those things underground?
Bunkers.
Bunkers. I want to know my bunker see. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Your bunker safe.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you tired of the same old 5K runs? Want something more? Then get ready for the Chick Charney Challenge City Run on September 28th, starting at Crypto Wild. Test your strength, stamina, and spirit. It takes all of you to dodge, climb, conquer obstacles as you race through the heart of the city. Lace up and get to the Chick Charney Challenge City Run. Register now on our website, chickcharneychurn.com, or on our social media pages. Brought to you by Kalina, Island Yogurt, Advantage Insurance, Art of Graphics, Crypto Wild, and Guardian Radio 96.9.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is...
For the month of September, the Hit Spot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the Hit Spot and listen to...
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on...
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green is with me. And we have Dr. Cleveland Enius here, who's a critical theologist, PhD person, who goes in detail.
That's what you can tell St. Peter when we get to the gate. You can tell St. Peter I was with you.
Peter is a Greek name. Mm-hmm. There was never a St. Peter. You know what Peter means? The Rock. They make a whole name and say, you know what? I know that man's name. I can call
Uncle,
him The Rock.
What is the African version of Peter, right? Knowing that the Greco-Romans borrowed some things.
Well, the Peter that they're making reference to is actually Constantine. He's okay. Their Peter.
That's even worse. You don't want to go down that rabbit.
Don't call my name when you talk into the bay, okay? Yeah.
And remember, the heaven that comes in the heaven that's coming to earth has 12 gates. So if you go to heaven and only have one gate, you in hell.
You know, you're talking about the spaceship, right?
You mean the ark where
the
they
New Jerusalem,
the
Revelation 21. That's
once
the one Miles Monroe was talking about.
The once they the boat, the new, the Jesus one. I'll take the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I don't like what they do when they put you on that.
We can talk one day about the spaceship, you know, and where and these beings.
Hold on, not you say spaceship. You said spaceship, but, like it's singular, when even European new relic and Jerusalem. Arts shows you multiple images of crafts in the sky.
Next week's show. That's,
that's cool.
Heaven
but,
on Earth,
but,
New Jerusalem,
but this,
flying
this,
back to Earth.
This evil that was continuous in the days of old, the thinking and the imagination of the people was evil. The Nephilim, remember those? We talked about two groups of angels in Genesis 6. One of them were called the Nephilim, or those who had fallen. Now, in Matthew 24, right, if you go to verse 38, it says, For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. That's the day we're in right now. Because we're still holding on to the actual way of life of the Greco-Romans. We don't know what the reality of marriage is for us. We don't know what the reality of religion is for us. We don't know what the reality of this story is for us. And so we have to now delve into these realities from an African perspective.
All of the Noah-like stories, flood stories, had some kind of savior intervening, some heavenly being intervening. Surely the African had God come down and help him.
You know, we had the 24 elders. The 24 elders were the ones who helped build the ark. They were the ones who told him where to go.
We look like we got to continue this ark story and don't talk about the heaven on earth and the spaceship coming down.
We'll continue this and then we'll do that.
But I mean, there's a part of it. It's like a continuation.
Yeah.
I would know how come God ain't come and saved Noah, the African Noah.
He did.
He said the 12 elders.
Yeah, just like the three that came to Jesus. Jesus had to be saved before he could save anybody. Remember that?
We can talk about that too.
Yeah.
This has been Guardian Radio with C.A. Neary. Of course, we had Dr. Cleveland Enius III with us, critical theologist. And of course, Aaron
Greenwich. I was not here.
You was not here?
Don't tell the boy I was with you.
And happy birthday, Kendall K.C. Campbell. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nashville, Bahamas.